This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Ready? All right, Parshas Tetzaveh. Parakov Ches Pasuk Yud. We're going to start off with this in Parshas Tetzaveh. It's going to be about the Kisvos HaEifot. So very quickly, before we go into anything whatsoever, we're going to have to explain about the Big Day Kuna Gedol. I'm not going to go through all eight, but one of the things that the Kohen Gadol had was the Choshen that was right in front. We talked about some of the gemstones that they donated last week that went on the Choshen itself, and then the Ephod, which was the backwards apron that they wore, that Rashi says looked like a woman, an apron that was worn by women as they rode horses, that they put it right in the back over there. So the way to connect those two, because this went on top of everything. They had their Ksones, the big long shirt that went on top, the Me'il went on top, and in order to connect the Choshen to the Ephod, in order to keep it up, what they would do is they had these little mishpitzo zav, these little tiny little things, which according to the Ramban are chains, which we talked about last week, these little things of zav that connected up to the kisfosa Ephod, the shoulders of the Ephod itself. Those shoulders of the Ephod were made out of Avnei Shoham, which seemingly is onyx stone, O-N-Y-X, onyx stone that they put on top, the stone of Yosef Atzadik on the Choshen. They put two, one over here, one over here. One had chains leading down to the Choshen. One had chains, the other side had chains leading down to the Ephod itself. And then the Ephod wrapped around all the way down and then connected with two other chains in the bottom to the Choshen right over here. So the Choshen had two chains this way, two chains this way. These two chains went to the Kisvos Ephod and over there. Now, on those two Avnei Ephod, it had the following. Parakov Ches Pasuk Yud. Shisha Mishmosim Ala Evan Achas. Six of their names of the Shvatim were on one stone. And the six names, the other six names, the remaining six names, were on the second stone. It says, Kitoldasam, according to the way that they were born. Literally, that word would be, you write them according to the way that they were born, and that would be that. Now, very quickly, the order of the Shvatim, if we wanted to say it in order, from the beginning to the end, Reuven is obviously the oldest, then Shimon, then comes Levi, then comes Yehuda. Then as everybody knows, it switched off after that. Then it came Dan and Naphtali, born from Bilhah, Gad and Asher from Zilpah, and then Yosef and Yisachar Zvulun, and then Yosef Binyamin. So the Bnei Leah were split up. You had Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Then the Bnei Shvachos, right? Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Then Yisachar Zvulun, the end of the Bnei Leah, and then Yosef and Binyamin. That's if it went purely kitoldosam, if it went purely according to the names that they went from one to the other. But the problem is that we don't know exactly what the word kitoldosam means. Does it mean literally according to their birth, or does it mean something else entirely? So here's the Gemara. Sota Lamed Vavamed Aleph. The Gemara in Sota Lamed Vavamed Aleph says it's a machlokus between two Tanayim. The Tanakhama holds only the second stone had the Shvatim in birth order. But the first stone did not. And the reason why it didn't have them in order is because Yehuda was listed first before all the other Shvatim on that first stone. Two stones, the second stone was entirely in order, but the first stone had Yehuda there, right there. I do have this entire list. If you can see it, great. If you can't, that's okay. You have Yehuda, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, Binyamin. The only difference, this is entirely in order. Gad, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, Binyamin is in order of when they were given birth. But in this one, Yehuda is put first because, seemingly because he's the king itself. That's the idea behind it. Altogether, if you count up both of these sides, you're going to count, you're going to see that there should have been, in some way, 50 letters, 25 on each stone. 25 on this stone, you got 5, 5, 5, 3, 2, and 5, that's 25. And then 2, 3, 5, 5, 4, and 6, if you count Binyamin with that extra yud. That's the Tanakhama's opinion, 25 letters on one stone, 25 letters on the other stone, and it kind of makes sense. Now, why would Yehuda be put first over everybody else? The Orach Chaim HaKadosh is really a Yerushalmi that brings down Yehuda as the king. He deserves to be first. He's the first one to go by the Degulim. When they did all the travels in the Midbar, Yehuda is the first one to go. So it makes sense that he's the one that's going to be listed before everybody else, and therefore goes through. The Torah Tamima does not like that answer. He must not have realized it was Yerushalmi. But the Torah Tamima himself says that can't be it. That makes no sense. Yisachar and Levi were teachers of Klal Yisrael. Teachers of Klal Yisrael should have come before Yehuda. They were greater than the kings. If you're going to teach Torah, that makes you better, so to speak. So he gives a different answer. He says, since Yehuda has the Shem Havaya within his name, Yud Kei Vav Kei is in the word Yehuda. You have the actual Yud Kei Vav Kei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in it. Therefore, he went first as a Torah Tamima. That's why he was put first. Either way, that's the Tanakhama's opinion. That's what goes down. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is the other Tana that argues over there. Tana Kama says one, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says a different answer. Says the division of these names is not according to what we see in Sefer Bamidbor, but rather in Sefer Shmos. At the beginning of Shmos, and everyone knows this, there's a list of all the Shvatim in which it says, Eile Shmos b'nei Yisrael. These are the names of b'nei Yisrael that went down to Mitzrayim. And it says all the b'nei Leah first. It goes through Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Zvulun. And then it's interesting. And it says, Ubin Yamin. And then it says, Don Naphtali Gad Asher. And at the very end, and Yosef Haya B'Mitzrayim. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Says Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, that's how they were listed. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar, Zvulun. All of Leah's kids, right in order over there. Binyamin was the next in the Pasuk. Then Don Naphtali Gad Asher, and Yosef at the very end. According to this opinion of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, the word kitoldosam, which we just set up above, kitoldosam means in the order of each one of the Shvatim, how they were born. Well, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, that doesn't work because Binyamin is put before Dan Naphtali Gad Asher. Yisachar Zvulun is on the right-hand side with all the other B'nai Leah. Kitoldosam doesn't work that way. So according to him, the word kitoldosam doesn't mean the order of how they were born. It means rather the names given to them at birth. They were given the names of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. Those are the names given to them. Later on, Moshe Rabbeinu changed some of those names. He said, Mishpachas HaRuveini, Mishpachas HaShimoni. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, how do you know which one went to the Avnei Ephod? Maybe it was Reuveini and not Reuven. That's kitoldosam. Kitoldosam means the name that they were given at the time of their birth. That's kitoldosam at their birth. It doesn't refer to how to put the order. That's something else entirely, says Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Rather, what they're supposed to do is it's supposed to be kitoldosam according to their names at their birth. That's how you word it over there. That's the pshat. Now, there is a third opinion. The third opinion is an Amora by the name of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana seems to argue on Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel in the Talmud Tana Kama, and it's actually rejected by the Gemara. The reason why it's rejected is because in Amora, Rav Kahana probably is the Talmud of Rav. We're talking about a second generation Amora. Cannot argue on Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel in the Tana Kama, who probably would have been later generation Tanoim. They wouldn't be able to do this. So the Gemara rejects Rav Kahana altogether. But what does Rav Kahana say? Rav Kahana says they were split up according to how they were split up on Har Grizim and Har Evel. Now, what does that mean? Har Grizim and Har Evel were two mountains in which B'nai Yisrael were to cross over the Jordan River, it says in Parshas Kisavo, and they would go to Har Grizim and Har Evel. And at Har Grizim and Har Evel, they were going to have the brachos and the klalos. There were going to be the brachas that they were going to get in the klalos. What happened was, is they had six shvatim on top of Har Grizim, six shvatim on top of Har Evel. The way to remember this is the good mountain was Grizim, Gimel for good, and Evel was evil. That's the evil mountain over there. The six shvatim that were up on top of here, they heard the brachos, and these six shvatim heard the klalos. On the bottom, Shevet Levi had their zakenim, not the younger people, those were up on top, but the Shevet Levi had zakenim and the kohanim. They would go with the Aron Kodesh itself, and they sat in the middle, and they would call out loud. They would first turn to Har Grizim, and they would say, Baruch. They would say a bracha, Asher Yakim is Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah Azos. That blessed is the person that upholds this Torah. And everybody in Har Grizim would answer, Amen. And then they'd turn to the other mountain, Har Evel, and they would say, Cursed Arur, Asher Lo Yakim is Sefer Torah Azos. Somebody who does not uphold the words of this Torah. And all the people in Har Evel would say, Amen. So that's what happened, and they accepted upon themselves the bris of Klai Yisrael. It did not mean that these were blessed and these were cursed. It just meant that the brachos went this way, the klalos went that way. According to this idea, Rav Kahana says the split on these mountains was the same split that we have for over here by the Avnei Ephod. By Har Grizim and Har Evel, there was a weird split. There was Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, Binyamin. On the other side was Reuven, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And Har Evel was, again, Reuven, altogether, Reuven, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. That split was how the Avnei Ephod went. One had all the first ones that I mentioned, the second one had everything over there. Now, for that to work, you still needed 25 per stone. In order to get the 25 per stone, Binyamin was a little bit of a kasha. If you look at the opinion, Shimon is 5, Levi is 3, Yehuda is 5, Yisachar is 5, Yosef is 4, you needed something by Binyamin to make it a little bit different. It could be that Yosef is a little bit different and it's got the extra hay there, right? But that's that. You have Yosef, and then there's Ben, perhaps. On the other side, Reuven, Zvulun, Naphtali, and Gad and Asher is 5 each, that's 20. Dan is 2. Then you need Yamin, Yud Mem Nun, to be able to come out with 25 on the other side. You needed that. Either it was that, or Zvulun was full, and then Bini would be on the first side, Min was on the second side, whichever one it was. But according to Rav Kana's opinion, it seems that that went there, that there was Ben on one side, Yamin on the other, or Bini on one side, Min on the other side. Somehow it equaled up that there were 25 on each stone, all from this way. Targum Yonas Menuzil, although we don't go with this opinion of Rav Kana, Targum Yonas Menuzil might hold this way. The reason why Targum Yonas might hold this way is because he says, Shisha Mishmosam, it seems like he says, part of their names are on one stone, part of their names are on another stone. It's Miktas Shmoson on one and the other, which was what refers to Binyamin over here. It could be from this wording of the Targum Yonas Menuzil, Rav Kahana got his idea of Bini and Min, which means, essentially, Targum Yonas Menuzil. Does anybody know who Yonas Menuzil was? If Targum Yonasan is the Yonas Ben Uziel, Yonas Ben Uziel, says the Gemara in Sukkah, Chaf Chasim and Aleph, was the oldest Talmud of Hillel out of the 80 Talmudim that he had, 30 that were able to stand the sun in the sky, 30 that were roi for the Shechina to be upon them, then 20 in the middle. Out of the youngest was Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, the oldest was Yonas Ben Uziel. However you want to learn up that Gemara where Yonas Ben Uziel was, you're the best of the 80 or the best of those 20. But Yonas Ben Uziel was there. He was an early Tana. If Rav Kahana's opinion stems with Yonas Ben Uziel's opinion, then it could be that Rav Kahana has something to rely on, and an older Tana than both Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel and the Tana Kama. It's possible that Rav Kahana is based on something, and that's something that Targum Yonas points out over here as well. Meshech Chochma says it's even hinted to in the Torah. This idea of Rav Kahana, which is rejected by the Gemara, is hinted to in the Torah itself. It says by Binyamin, Bank Seifav Shachain. Between the shoulders, he rests. That's what it says. He will rest. Binyamin rests between the shoulders. A reference to the Beis HaMikdash. But now it could be literal. One stone over here, one stone over here. Bank Seifav, between his shoulders, he rested. Bini was on one, and Min was on the other side. He had letters on both shoulders. Says the Meshech Chochma, that's the hint that Binyamin was split up from one to the other. And therefore, according to Rav Kahana, not only do you have a remez in the Torah that the Meshech Chochma says is by the bracha of Binyamin, you also possibly have a Targum Yonas Ben Uziel. So although the Gemara said rejects it out of hand, it could be that there is an opinion that Rav Kahana is not totally out because he does have something to rely on. Yes?
Why are we setting up lines that isn't
going to
be set up until the future?
Why are we what? For what? What do you mean?
For the
Avnei Eifod? Why are we discussing or why are they? Now you're asking, okay, I hear what you're saying. If the Tanoim and Amoraim, what are they arguing about, right? If it's not going to be for their time, they're living after the Beis HaMikdash was already destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash, then why would they argue about this point? It seems like it's Hilchas El Mashiach, as the Gemara calls it, a halacha for the times of Mashiach. The answer is simple, though. The answer is that we're always prepared for when the Beis HaMikdash is there, and in theory, if we knew how to make the onyx stones, and there was a way of doing it, which we have, through laser or through diamond, that would not utilize metal, that would be a problem, then you could make the Avnei HaEphod. And if you're going to make the Avnei HaEphod, you're going to do it in order to get yourselves ready for the Beis HaMikdash coming in. How should you do it? Therefore, they're arguing. So it's a little bit more than just the Hilchos El Mashiach. It seems like it's something that actually could be applied right now. You could do something with it right now. Torah Tmima says, there is a serious shiloh if you're allowed to split up a word in the Torah. Kedar LaOmer is one of the names of the kings that fought against Avram Avinu, and we spoke about this in Parshas Lech Lecha. It's possible that Kedar LaOmer is two separate words, and they have to be spelled in two different ways. It's one of the words that, in theory, you could write at the end of a sentence in the Torah and start the rest of the word on the other sentence. Sort of how, you know, if you're running out of room, you just put a dash, and then you continue the word on the other side. So Kedar LaOmer might be that way, but you can't do that normally by regular words. Here we see Binyamin, you're allowed to do it. So says the Torah Tmima, it's possible that this is only because it's stones on the Choshen, but you wouldn't be able to do this on the Torah. If somebody came up to the word Binyamin and he's at the end of the line of the Torah, would he be allowed to do Ben and Yamin on the other line, or Bini and Min on the other line? Would he be allowed to do that? That's a shaila. And the shaila would be answered according to this. If you hold like Rav Kana, then you clearly can split up Binyamin's name. But is that only by the Avnei Eifod? Does it also apply by the Torah itself? If you hold like Rav Chanina Gamliel and the Tanakhama, there's no reason to say it. It seems like Binyamin cannot be split up. And that is a nafkamina for writing a Sefer Torah. If a sofer is really messed up and has the word Binyamin at the end of a line, can he continue it on the next line? Right there might be based on this machlokas over here. There's another machlokas on how to get to the 50 letters. Over here, if you notice, Binyamin is spelled with two yuds. Everybody else is spelled like this. Zvulun is spelled with one vav. Zion Bez Vav Lamed Nun. Although there is a version of the Rambam where it's spelled Zion Bez Lamed Vav Nun. But we spell Zion Bez Vav Lamed Nun. Yosef is spelled Yud Vav Samach Pei, not Yehosef, which is also his name mentioned in Tehillim. So there's Yosef, there's Zvulun with one Vav, which means Binyamin has two Yuds. Binyamin is two Yuds over here, Binyamin is two Yuds over here, though this one doesn't matter, and Binyamin is spelled with one Yud on this side, on the opinion of Rav Kahana. That could very well be a massive machlokas, how to spell Binyamin's name. We'll get to it at some point later on. But the Rambam is going to be the most interesting part of all of that. We'll get to that in a second. But that's machlokas in the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak holds that Binyamin is spelled with one yud, and Yosef is known as Yehosef. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, his son, paskins that no, it's Binyamin with two yuds, and Yosef is spelled as regular Yosef, not with Yosef itself. Here's the problem, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh. I've got problems on the pasuk itself. The wording in the pasuk, Shisha Mishmosam ala Evan Achas, is weird. Six from their names are written on one stone. Now, according to Rav Kana, we already said that makes sense. You split it up. But shouldn't you just write Shisha Shemos ala Evan Achas? Shisha Shemos ala Evan Achas, Shisha Shemos ala Evan Ashenis. That's the way you should do it. Why is it Shisha Mishmosam? That's number one. Number two, the word Hanosarim, the six that are left, as if they're not as important. Why do you use that word Hanosarim? That's weird. Why would you use that? That word is used when you're dealing with somebody who's like a bad guy. Like the rest of the sheep went to Lavan. Nadav and Avihu died, and the rest of the sons, Elazar and Itamar, were not on the level of Nadav and Avihu. They were left to Aaron. That's what you do then. But that's like the weaker answer. Why are we going with that when we have so many other things to do? The Marl Diskin has a whole idea that goes through over here, but we're not going to go through it over here. The Netziv says the Nosarim is there specifically for one reason. And the idea is to indicate that these six Shvatim that were put on the second stone were just as great as the ones on the first stone. They weren't any different whatsoever. The only reason they were even placed on the second stone is because there was no room. It's literally, they ran out of room. They were therefore Nosarim, left out. Not because they weren't as good, they were simply left out because there wasn't enough room to put 12 Shvatim on one stone. Therefore, it was six on one, six on the other. That's how they ended up putting it over there.
I do know there were weaker Shvatim than...
How do you know that? From where?
That is Rashi on Chovet.
You're right. You're 100% right. In Parshas Vayigash, when Yosef HaTzadik took Shvatim to stand them in front of Paro, he took the five weakest Shvatim, stood them in front of Paro to make sure that they weren't going to be chosen for army duties. But does that mean that they were weaker altogether or just weaker in physicality? That could be, since that's no difference to us, it's only a difference to Paro, they're not necessarily Nosarim, they're just weaker in stature or whatever it is, so they wouldn't join the army. I don't think that makes them weaker in spirit. That doesn't make it any better. So good, guys. We have three opinions, right? We have the Tanakhama, Rechinim, Megillah, and Rav Kahana. That's great. Two Tanaim and Amora. Maybe the Amora is going with another Tana. That's great. So you'd expect that Rashi and the Rambam would go with one of these Shitos, right? But of course not. It's Rashi and the Rambam. Why would they go with any of those Shitos? Rashi says it goes Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, Naphtali. God, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, Binyamin. He goes in order of how they're born, does not put Yehuda first. Tanakhama said it's all the same, but Yehuda's first, right? That would be Rashi, but here he says Yehuda's first. He's arguing on a Tana. If we reject Rav Kahana, because he's arguing on Tanaim, certainly we would reject Rashi if he's arguing on Tanaim, right? How could he argue on two Tanaim? That doesn't make any sense. Now, according to Rashi, it also works out perfectly. There are 25 letters on every stone. 25 letters in this one, 25 letters in this one. It works out perfectly if you have Binyamin with the extra Yud. It does work out perfectly. Kitol Dosam is Pashup Pshat. It goes in order of their birth. And they're mamish in order of the actual birth. That makes a ton of sense, and everything makes a ton of sense over here. So if you go through this, I would think that Rashi would be the Pashup Pshat. But it goes against Tanaim. So you should know Josephus in Antiquities. It's mentioned in Antiquities 3:7-5. Ends up saying like Rashi. I'm not going to use this. I'm just going to tell you Josephus was a Tana. Yosifun was a Tana. If the same Josephus was living at the times of Tanoim, he lived at the times of the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, Chorban Bayis Sheni, right around that time, a little bit earlier, he would have been around Hanukkah time. If we're dealing with that, right, then Josephus, in theory, is a Tana that Rashi can go with. But I don't know if Rashi ever saw Josephus' book. I don't know if this is the Antiquities that we refer to when we refer to Yosifun. Probably not. And it would be unlikely that Rashi would go with Yosifun over two Tanoim that are mentioned in the Gemara. So it does get mentioned before. It's just likely that it's not it. What are we going to say?
There's so many opinions. It's hard to think that this is the case. How did they get so confused? But at the same time, weren't there different Choshens?
It's possible that the Choshens were probably the same, but the Avnei Ephod may have been different. The Avnei Ephod may have been different from one to the other.
If there were more than one of them, then maybe at some point they had changed.
It's possible. I think they're more going with the drush than they are going into the reality of what it was. It's sort of like what we say, like if they found the Avnei Ephod and they saw them, would Rashi take back his opinion? Would the Rambam take back his opinion? Probably not. They would say, we see what they did back then, but if we're going to do it for the future, we're going to do it like this. Because this is the way that the Torah means it. I would assume that way. Like if Rashi knew, again, before Rashi made his tefillin, the order of the parshas of the tefillin, were there tefillin? You'd assume yes, right? What order of Parshios were they? You'd assume they were what? Not like Rashi, because Rashi created his tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam comes along and switches it around a generation later. What happened with those tefillin? I you hear what I'm saying? Like, it's possible they understood. We understand what everybody's been doing, and there's been a Mesorah for this, but our psak is to do it differently. We're looking at the sugya and we're seeing it should be a little bit different. So therefore, we're going to change it from what it was. So it's possible, even if they found the Avnei Ephod, if we would look at them, we'd say, oh, clearly it's like the Tana Kama. We'd say, okay, but we hold differently now. We're going to paskin like Rashi or the Rambam. It's possible they'll still hold of their opinions, even though it seems to argue on what happened before, that you need somebody who knows how to work with Mesorah. Yeah.
But just like an Amora can't argue with a Tana, let's say we found what they actually used, wouldn't you be able to say it's not, I can't argue with the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu?
Yeah, unless you say that the person who wrote it may not have had a real opinion and just did it on his own. You're right. If we knew that it was Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel who did that, then we probably wouldn't. But it might not have been Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel. It could have been some Joe Schmo who just put it together. And even though that person is even greater than I am, even though he was an Amma Aretz and I'm a nothing, right, in comparison to that, nonetheless, if I hold, based on my psukim, this is the way it should be, then I'm going to hold strong, stark, even now, and say, this is my psak. And that's perfectly fine. That's sort of like the Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel argument, so to speak, in that way. Now, what do you do when Rashi argues with two Tanoim? So you look up two Svarim, the Mizrahi and the Gurari. The Gurari is the Maharal. The Mizrahi, Rabbi Leo Mizrahi, is the first person to have made a mass aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in the early thousands, and 1350, 1320, right when the Mizrahi went in, which the Mizrahi movement is sort of named after Rabbi Leo Mizrahi. You have the Mizrahi and the Gurari. They were two Sfarim that wrote on Rashi. Both of them, Tzaddikim Gemurim. You look up the Mizrahi and the Gurari, and there's nothing. Nothing. They don't bring up that Rashi's arguing on a Gemara. They don't bring up that Rav Kana was rejected from the Gemara because of those two Tanaim. They don't even say anything, which leads you to say something's wrong here. Sifsei Chachamim, which you'll see on the side of your Chumash often, the Sifsei Chachamim, zero. There's nothing here. Absolutely nothing there. The Nachlas Yaakov questions it and then leaves it as Tzarechi and doesn't even bother with an answer. So that Tzedul Derech points out the issue, but he says Rashi is Lishitaso, and this is something that I think we should know. When Rashi has a simpler explanation than what the Gemara says, even though the Gemara seems to be going in a certain direction, but Rashi says there's a much simpler explanation. That if you look at it, this is a really, really simple explanation of Kitol Dosam. If you look at it and you see it that way, always go with the simpler explanation, even if that means it's going against everyone else. That's an unbelievable shot, and he gives examples of this. He gives three different examples that Seder LeDerech does, and he says, Parshas Bo, it mentions this, it's also later on by Ola Sa'of, where it seems that even though every opinion of the Gemara is going one way and Rashi goes the other way, if it fits better in shot in the Pasuk, Rashi is willing to go with it. You should know, by the way, this is usually where the Ramban destroys the Ibn Ezra, where the Ibn Ezra says a certain opinion that's against the Gemara. The Ramban will look at the Ibn Ezra and say, how dare he go against the Gemara? That's usually what happens. Maybe the reason why the Ramban didn't say anything about Rashi here, maybe, is because he looked at it and he said, well, there's a machlokas anyway, so Rashi, I guess, can add to the machlokas. But it is weird. It's extremely weird over here. The Malbim and the Rinas Yitzchak both say that the Tana Kama is really Rashi. And it makes sense. It's all the Tana Kama except Yehuda's first. The Tana Kama saying Yehuda's first is an added opinion, but everybody held that it went Kid told Osam like Rashi did. Rashi's going with the Pashup shot in the Tana Kama. I bet Yehuda's first in the Tana Kama. That's the Tana Kama adding something to make Yehuda go first out of Chashivus, but not that you need Yehuda to go first. Yehuda's not Ma'akev being first. It could be the order of Rashi itself, and therefore Rashi's not arguing anybody. He's agreeing with the Tana Kama, just not putting Yehuda first. That's the answer that the Malbim, the Rinas Yitzchak give, both tremendous answers. Kolas Rabba says something as well, but then there's the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Klei HaKodesh, Perek Tes, Halacha Tes. And here is just an unbelievable opinion. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam says it goes Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Naphtali, Dun, Gad, Asher, Yehosef, Binyamin without a Yud. You look at this Rambam, and it's clear, he held that it went one to the next, one to the next, one to the next, all the way through. He didn't go Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. He went this way. But then if you notice, he does Yisachar, Zvulun before Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. Yisachar, Zvulun were born after them, but yet he puts them first. Then he switches around Dan and Naphtali. He puts Naphtali first and then Dan. Then he makes Yehosef with the hay and Binyamin without a Yud. So clearly the Rambam wanted to have 25 letters and 25 letters. If you do Yehosef and you switch Dan and Naphtali, you'll have 25 and 25. But who is the Rambam going like? The Rambam's not like anyone. It's sort of like he pulled this answer out of the air and said, oh, this is the pshat. It's nowhere near Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, nowhere near the Tana Kama, not nowhere near the rejected opinion of Rav Kahana. Where in the world does the Rambam come up with this idea over here? So there's a lot of problems with this, obviously, if you look through trying to find out. So the Kesef Mishnah, this is the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, who wrote a sefer on the Tur and the Rambam before writing his Shulchan Aruch. The Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, as well as the Beis Yosef itself on the Tur, finally coming out with the Shulchan Aruch, right, that came out toward the end of his life, based on the Psukim that he gave in the Kesef Mishnah, which is a source of the Rambam, where the Rambam gets everything. And this, the Kesef Mishnah says, the Psak is like Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel. The Rambam holds like Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, but he understands the opinion of Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel very differently. There are three separate statements that Rabbi Hanina made. Three separate statements. He said, number one, B'nai Leah Kisidron. B'nai Leah Kisidron, we thought meant Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. B'nai Levi in one order makes a lot of sense. He says it's also that way, but you go across. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, they're all in order, but you have to go across. Got it? Makes sense? Okay, we got B'nai Levi Kisidron. Second one is B'nai Rachel, Echod Mikan, Echod Mikan. The B'nai Rachel, one over here, one over there. We thought it meant Binyamin on top, Yosef on the bottom. One on this side, one on that side of the B'nai Shvachos. That's what we thought it meant. He says it means, no, one here and one there. Yehosef and then Binyamin. That's the easy way of looking at it. Echad Mikan on one shoulder and Echad Mikan one on the other shoulder. And that way, and says the Rambam, not only on them two, everyone is Echad Mikan, one here, one there, one there, one there, one there. And it kept going from one to the other, so finally get to Yosef and Binyamin, one here and one there. That's the way he says it goes. That's number two. Number three, B'nai Shvachos Be'emtza. The B'nai Shvachos are in the middle. We thought it meant in the middle of Binyamin and Yosef. He says it means between B'nai Leah and B'nai Rachel. B'nai Leah here, B'nai Rachel there. The B'nai Shvachos are in the middle. They're be'emtza. And beautiful. Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel's statements, the three statements that we have from Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, all work out well. And not only that, but I also get the Tana Kama's 25 and 25. I can get 25 here, 25 there, and that's why he switched Dan and Naphtali, even though it should be Dan here and Naphtali there. I also get the 25 and 25. According to this, says the Kesef Mishnah, you end up getting all the opinions put together as one, not all of the Tana Kama, but the idea of what the Tana Kama meant of 25 and 25. You get Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel as well. It's a unique Shita, but it works. It works. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh takes him to task. He says he doesn't like it at all. Why would the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel over the Tana Kama? If you have Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel and the Tana Kama says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, you would go with the Tana Kama. Why would you go with Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel's opinion if the Tana Kama argues? That's number one. Why would the Rambam go that way? That's number one. He can't understand that at all. The Kesem Mishnah said Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is more mistaber, makes more sense. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, what does that mean it's more mistaber? There's nothing that makes more sense than the opinion of Rashi. That's the most mistaber opinion. And that's the Tana Kama with Yehuda first. Why would the Rambam go with this opinion, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, when this is clearly more mistaber, clearly makes much more sense? Number two, he says, why are only the B'nai Rachel listed as Echad Mikan to Echad Mikan? It says B'nai Rachel, Echad Mikan to Echad Mikan. But according to the Rambam, they're all Echad Mikan to Echad Mikan. Each one of them is Echad Mikan to Echad Mikan. You shouldn't have said B'nai Rachel, Echad Mikan to Echad Mikan. You should have just said Echad Mikan to Echad Mikan, and that should have been it. So he doesn't understand that. The third question is, this order is supposed to be according to Sefer Shmos. According to Sefer Shmos, Yosef is last. Binyamin was before him. Even if you want to put the B'nai Rachel last, Binyamin should be here and Yosef should be there. It shouldn't be the opposite order. So why would you do it that way? Yosef was last, according to Shmos. And that's what it said. We go with it, the second one was according to the Sefer Shmos. Right. So he doesn't understand that.
Yosef was in Mitzrayim, so it was ending off.
Yeah, so but that's why we're going with the order in Shmos. And that's where it says that Yosef was last. So put Yosef last. That's the idea. And number four, his fourth question is, where in the world did the Rambam come up with this? Where did he come up with this? It's just a huge chiddush. Is this based on a medrash somewhere? Why would he go with Reb Yitzchak and say, Yehosef, when everybody else holds like Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak and says it's Binyamin with the Yud? Why would he do that? It's just so strange. Everything about the Rambam is strange. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh goes on. There's a Sefer Get Pashut in Hilchos Gittin, Simin Kuf Chav Tes, Sif Katan Kuf Chav Zayin. It's hard to find because it's actually a little sif in the middle of everything. But Kuf Chav Tes, Kuf Chav Zayin, that tries to answer all these questions. I suggest everybody look it up. I do have it on the sheets if you want to see it. They're not, I don't think, and it's my opinion, I don't think they're the strongest answers. I feel the Orach Chaim HaKadosh is a really strong opinion against the Rambam being like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. He tries saying it's really the Tana Kama. No, he says that it's Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, but it's okay to go through there. But there, it seems strange to me. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Don't we say that the Tana Kama
is it can't be. Yeah, normally, Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir. Over here, if he's arguing with Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it can't be Reb Meir. He was the generation after Rabbi Gamliel the second, who was the son of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel the first. Rabbi Gamliel the second, who was the father of Shimon Gamliel, right? And then would have been around the times of Rabbi Akiva, likely. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel was probably that last generation of Tanoim, right? Who was right before Levi and Rabbi Afis and Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chanina, etc. So it's likely we're dealing with different generations. Reb Meir could have been around, but he would have been much older and was probably dead by then. But I don't know. It could be that it was Reb Meir. I just don't know for sure. But let me tell you a Chassam Sofer. This Chassam Sofer is ingenious. I can never understand where the Chassam Sofer comes up with anything. But this is one of the most brilliant pshatim I've ever seen. And I have to say, I never would have found this if not for the Frankel Rambams. I looked in the back of the Frankel Rambams, and he has all those, the Meforshim in the back, where they tell you where to look up. He said to look up the Chassam Sofer in Parshas Vayakel on page Kuf Nun Dalet. I never would have found it without them, so I have to thank the Kohel, whoever put it together with Reb Frankel, putting it in the back of the Rambam, because I never would have seen this otherwise. This shot is like this. There is an opinion that says that it's not Yosef and Levi that are written on the stones. If you look up here, the Tshuva Zegaonim says that it wasn't Yosef and it wasn't Levi. There was Menashe, Ephraim, and not Yehud, and not Levi, and not Yosef. They took Levi out, they took Yosef, and they put in Menashe and Ephraim. And Menashe and Ephraim are put before Binyamin. That's the Tshuva Zegaonim's opinion. How do you know that Levi and Yosef were put on the Kisvos Ephod and not Menashe and Ephraim? How do you know that? How do you know that it was them, Levi and Yosef, and not Menashe and Ephraim? How do we know the Tshuva Zegaonim isn't right? So he says the following. He says, the word kitoldosam, as we've used before, means according to how they're given birth to, which means in the family. Yosef and Levi were in the family. Ephraim and Menashe were not. So if you have the word kitoldosam, you need the Bnei Yaakov. You need Yosef and Levi. You can't use Menashe and Ephraim. Okay? But if you learn it that way, and that's why it's Yosef and Levi and not Ephraim and Menashe, that means you can't use kitoldosam, says the Chassam Sofer, to teach me anything else. Which means you can't use kitoldosam to tell you how to spell the names. Spell the names according to what it was at birth to know what they spell like. So maybe it's like this. And he says such a crazy pshat. Maybe it's this. Yosef HaTzadik went to Ashes Potiphar's house. Lasos Malachto. Everybody remember that? He went in, Lasos Malachto, to do his work. There are two opinions brought down what that means that he went in to do his work. One is that he planned on marrying Ashes Potiphar, being together with Ashes Potiphar. And he stopped himself. Why did he stop himself? All of a sudden he stopped himself and he saw Yaakov Avinu's face in the window. Somehow he saw Yaakov Avinu's face, the Kisya covered coming down, Yaakov Avinu's face right in front of him. And he stopped himself from being with him because what did Yaakov Avinu say? Do you want your name erased from the Avnei HaEphod? Do you want your name to be taken away from the Avnei HaEphod? Not in the Koshen. Do you want your name erased from the Avnei HaEphod, from the stones of the Ephod? And that stopped him. That stopped him. He said after that, do I want it? No, I don't want it. And he ran away. He ran away. So the pshat is, then we already know that Yosef's name is on the ephod. If we have this medrash telling us that Yaakov Avinu told Yosef, do you want your name on the Avnei ephod? And Yosef said, yes. That means whose name is on the ephod? Yosef's. I don't need Kitol Dosim to tell me that. Kitol Dosim is extra. So what does Kitol Dosim teach me? Kitol Dosim will teach me that there's a certain way of writing the names, and it'll be Binyamin with a Yud and Yosef without the Hey, etc. But if you learn the other way, that Yosef HaTzadik did not go in to be with Ashes Potiphar, he went in to do his work literally. He went in to do his work literally. Ashes Potiphar cornered him, and he ran away. No medrash. He didn't see Yaakov Avinu's face. He didn't see, right, Yaakov Avinu come down to him, and Yaakov Avinu never said to him, you're on the Avnei Ephod. How do you know that Yosef's on the Avnei Ephod? You don't have Yaakov Avinu saying it to him. He didn't tell him anywhere. So how do you know he's on the Avnei Ephod? From the word Kitol Dosim. Kitol Dosim knocks out Menashe and Ephraim and puts him in, which means Kitol Dosim is not there to tell you how to spell the names, which means you can spell it as Yehosef and Binyamin without the Yud. That's the way to be able to do it, that Kitol Dosim is not going to be extra in such a way. How do we know the Rambam Paskins the second way? That he Paskins, that he went in Lasos Malachto itself? That's a whole big arichos that he says based on the Parak B'met Tomnin, where the word Malachto is used. This word, Lasos Malachto, is one of the 39 Lashonos of Malacha Mamish, to say how many malachos there are on Shabbos. There's another malacha mentioned somewhere else, but this one is included. If you include this one, that means Lasos Malachto is literal. If it's literal, like the Rambam says, if it is literal, then it can't. It must be used to be able to say that Kitol Dosim is really Yosef and not Menashe and Ephraim, which means it doesn't say the names, which means Yosef could be Yosef. It's a crazy pshat, but really a brilliant way of looking at this entire thing. Yeah, quickly, as because I want to end with this.
Can we use Kitol Dosim to just Levi's in there? You know Yosef,
You got to do both. It's either Levi and Yosef or Menashe and Ephraim, taking out Levi and Yosef. It can't be either one. There are other opinions. The Das Zakenim is another opinion. There's the Shuvah Zagonim that we already mentioned. Rabbi Avram ben Yitzchak Milo Neil has an answer. There's a strange opinion brought up by the Torah Shleima in his Miluim number 10. Something really strange over there. Then there's the Rabbeinu Bachaya. Rabbeinu Bachaya seems to be the same thing as Rashi, but I think it's just a mistake. It's really, really strange the way he goes through it. Let's end with one thing. There's a Balaturim that says that the reason why there were six names and six names is because there are six words in Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Out of those six words, there are 25 letters. Shema is three, Yisrael is five, Hashem is four, Elokeinu is six, Hashem is four, Echad is three. Altogether, 25 letters. The six words and 25 letters of Shema Yisrael represent the Shvatim. We say Shema twice a day. Look inside the Balaturim and the Rokeach. It's a little bit different. He says Baruch Shem Kavod Machzol Olam Vaed. Baruch Shem Kavod Machzol Olam Vaed is also six words. But you say Shema in the morning, Shema in the evening. 25 letters of Shema in the morning, 25 letters of Shema in the evening. Who said Shema for the very first time? Who was the very first people to say Shema? The Shvatim. Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to them the Kates of Mashiach, when Mashiach was coming. And he saw that he lost Ruach HaKodesh. And he turned to the Shvatim and he said, Shema Yesh Bechem Chet, maybe one of you sinned. Maybe that's the reason why I can't say anything. Maybe one of you sinned. And they said, Shema Yisrael, referring to their father, listen Yaakov Avinu, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We're all one, you don't have to worry about us whatsoever. The unity that they believed in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu connected all of them as one, so that all 12 Shvatim said together, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Echad, we have no problem, to which Yaakov responded. What did he respond? Baruch Shein Kvod Malchusel Olam Bo'ed. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu never put Baruch Shein Kvod Malchusel Olam Bo'ed in the Torah, in Parshas Vaaschanan and Ekev, when we went through Shema. Vaaschanan is where Shema Yisrael is, but Ekev is where Vahayim Shemoa is. He didn't put in Baruch Shein Kvod Malchusel, but we say it quietly because Yaakov Inu said it. That's the Gemara in Pesachim. Right? The Gemara in Pesachim Nun Dalet says that. So maybe we can understand something awesome. Rabbeinu Ephraim says that splitting up the Shvatim is like Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. There's the Torah Shebichsav ones, Torah Shebal Peh ones. And it doesn't mean that they're both equal. That Torah Shebichsav is equal to Torah Shebal Peh. You need both, and if you don't have both, you don't have anything whatsoever. You need all 12 Shvatim. If you don't have those six, you don't have the other six, and that's that. Maybe the pshat is that all 12 Shvatim had very unique ways of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I went throughout this room right now, I could ask every single person how they connect to Hashem in their own way, and everybody's going to have a unique answer. I do this. I daven this way. I learn this way. There's something that I like that's going to be different from every single person here. Every Shevet represented a different method, a different way of getting Shefa from Hashem, a different, like, so to speak, tube that brought their tefillos up to Shemayim that allowed to go through. You can't expect a dun to be like a Naphtali. You can't expect a Shimon to be like a Yisachar. It's just not going to be that way. They all have their different aspects. And that goes through when we go to us nowadays, by every individual person, everybody has something that's there. But we all connect ourselves and we believe in Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkeinu, Shem Echad. Although there has to be six and six, and they seem separate. It looks like they have nothing to do with one another, that each guy has their own thing. Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkeinu, Shem Echad applies. Each one of them are connecting back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to that we say, Baruch Shein Kavod Malchusel Olam Ed, that we all want to do things L'Shem Shemayim. We want it to be in the best possible way. And Yaakov thus told them, that's why he told them at the end, this is amazing. You should continue to grow greater and greater with your own personal strengths. The personal kohos that you have, use that again and again and again. Become greater, become more powerful, become your own people. And that's what Baruch Shein Kvod Malchusel Olam Ed. Make that Kiddush Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you can make. And that's the lesson behind these stones and what it means. The order, who went where? Okay, that's important, but not for the overall purpose of let's argue for this. The real purpose behind all of this is to understand that there's something that connects us all, and it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.